I could host the show like this. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hot Garbage Podcast, your weekly music playlist.
You're listening to
Hot Garbage.
Playlist. My name is Drew. Joining me, as always, is the fingerless glove to my toe socks, my dear friend Andy.
Oh, how's it going, man?
It's going all right, Andy, but did you know, and I learned this just this week as I was listening back, I compared us to the same things 2 weeks in a row.
2 weeks in a row, you did?
I said you were the cosmonaut to my astronaut or something like that, and I did that during our episode with Karma Rivera, and then I remember doing it with our episode with Versatile. So, you know, because we're ahead a week, you guys are going to hear it twice, but I'm going to tell you the story of why. In the studio, there is a poster of what looks to me like an astronaut's helmet with fire coming out of it from our first live show. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I don't write the intro in advance. And so I just look around the room and I think of things to compare you to. And I found that poster 2 weeks in a row. And the same comparison jumped to my mind.
You're just drawn to it. It's just, it jumps out.
But I'll tell you, listeners, it's Bush League. It's Bush League hosting on my part, and I'm deeply sorry for it. But I'm not sorry that our silent partner Nate is with us, because he's making the sound happen. It sounds wonderful. And we're very grateful for him. Yeah. I'll fight anyone who says it doesn't sound wonderful, thanks to silent partner Nate. Andy, we had one of our favorite guests on the show this week, our dear friend, Bree Pruitt, recently departed to L.A., but she's back in town for a show. She's going to be part of the Bridgetown Comedy Festival, and she's just a delight to have in the studio.
One of our favorite guests, absolutely.
One of our favorite people, and Bree's just a fun person to spend an hour chatting with, so we covered a lot of ground and listen to some great tunes. She's wonderful because she really just lets you play DJ for an hour.
I always like that. I love it when comedians come on and they're just like, hey, I'm super busy and I'm on the road. Play me some cool songs.
That's right.
I got you.
And we got you, listeners. We want to thank you so much for joining us this week. We hope you like our conversation with Bree, and we hope you like the show in general. It means a lot that you listen. If you like what you hear, please tell a friend and pass it along down the chain. Also, subscribe to the show weekly on iTunes. While you're there, leave us some stars and some ratings, which help other people find the show. If you want to talk to Andy, Nate, and I, we would love to hear you in written form at hotgarbagepodcast@gmail.com. That's H-A-U-T-E, Garbage Podcast. So, with no further ado, hopefully you have a good time hanging out with Bree Pruitt on this week's episode of Hot Garbage.
I saw a Max that was painted up like the Coors Light Silver Bullet train.
You saw what? Train. Oh, yeah. A Max, I see.
Yeah, the Max train. It had,
you
like,
know what would
the,
be another one that
on
was
it.
Cool? Is a Airstream painted like a Coors Light can.
That would be great.
Or for me, a Diet Coke can.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It just pulls up and just a party breaks out.
Whew.
Everything's frozen.
Lots of Diet Cokes.
So, on the way here, I was picking up these Silver Bullets, and as I was leaving the Plaid Pantry and getting into my car, there was a car that pulled up of impossible to determine make and model, but it was small. It was four doors, and each of the panels was a different shade of green, and it was really riding low on the back, and there were five people in this thing rolling up hard and fast to the Plaid Pantry, and it made me nervous. The whole situation made me nervous. What kind of nervous? Or what kind of...
Kind of nervous.
Just like, oh, this is a bad situation right here.
You're about to be involved in some 90, bad shit.
90% of the time, nothing's going to happen. But when it's 9:30 at a Plaid Pantry and that kind of car rolls up full of people, who knows what's
going to
come out.
Is this the Plaid Pantry right by my house up on Foster and like 65th?
Yes.
That's a sketchy-ass Plaid Pantry.
Sure. It's a sketchy environment, so that definitely is a factor. But I'm just wondering, is there
directly
anything...
Directly next door to that place, there's a place where they have Narcotics Anonymous meetings.
Sure.
So, like, it's always, like, a pretty sketchy crowd there.
No, Narcotics Anonymous people are trying to get their lives back on track. They're taking their addiction head on. And, yes, they're buying cigarettes at Plaid Pantry, but I'm not scared of them. Those people are trying to better themselves.
True. You're right. You're
right. It's that, like, that... Geo that rolls up with the multi-green colored panels. And I was just wondering, like, what is a scenario that doesn't necessarily mean danger, but always makes you feel uncomfortable?
Anytime a glass gets broken at a bar, I'm like, ew. Like, oh, something might be happening.
Somebody might have broke a bottle on the bar and stab somebody with
and,
it.
And that's why you got to break the ice and say, opa! Or what is the other thing that people say? Like, congratulations, mazel tov.
Mazel tov. Mazel there we go. Yeah, that's it.
So you're trying to defuse that situation.
Exactly.
Because it
it's so
south.
Tense.
And that is the perfect joke for that situation. That's great. For me, it's whenever a cop's behind me.
Oh, sure.
That's terrifying. This has come up a lot of times in the last few episodes.
That's a fairly universal one. But I'm trying to find something that isn't. That just, you know, for whatever reason, it catches your eye and you are uncomfortable. There's no reason that car full of folks should have made me nervous. But there was just something about the cut of their jib that I didn't like.
When you walk up on a goose and you're not sure if that goose is going to chase you or you're going to chase it.
What?
Geese are fucking mean.
Geese are mean? Have you
they're
seen
irrational.
They're very territorial.
Yeah.
Have you seen a swan
they're not scared
up
of
close
me.
Recently?
No.
Oh, a swan is a gigantic
wait,
animal.
Recently? No, I haven't.
I saw one last Sunday, and it was...
At the Swan Sanctuary.
It was at... Actually, it was Saturday. It was in San Francisco. There was some city park, and there was a giant, majestic swan, but it's like the size of the rocking chair you're sitting in right now. Uh-huh. They are a massive animal. Very mean. A terrifying dinosaur. So that's a legitimate answer. When
birds
a swan is afoot.
Swan, police.
Birds shouldn't be scared of me, but
broken
they are.
Glass.
Yeah. It all goes back to my family goose that would knock me down and pull out my hair with its beak.
Your family goose. That's the dumbest sentence.
Our whole family goose.
I think it all goes back to my family goose.
Did you have a family goose when it's
have you ever had a goose egg?
No. Never had a goose egg. These geese were not laying many eggs.
They were
just
eating
for
your
show.
Hair.
Yeah. Yeah. They were more just hair pulling geese.
Did you bury that goose?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Did you grow up on a farm?
Yeah, I grew up on a farm.
Oh.
And one of my many duties was to bury any animal that died on our property or on the road surrounding our property. And we lived on a pretty busy road.
So you learned the facts of life early.
Really early. And I had a massive pet cemetery. If anyone builds anything on top of that, which
they
will
eventually. It was like Arlington.
Yeah. There's going to be some crazy shit going down in about 15 years when someone builds a house on that land.
Yes.
They're going to bury a person.
Gentrify this pet cemetery. I dare you.
Yeah, a lot of unmarked graves at the Fix household.
Mostly, I would probably guess.
Yeah. A few marked graves. Some really good marked graves.
What animals warrant a marked grave?
Dogs.
Okay,
that were
dogs.
Like very close pets, for sure.
That makes sense.
And I know where a couple of the cool cows are buried.
Tight.
Like Moo Moo Spot.
Moo Moo Spot?
Yeah, that was my calf that suddenly died in the dead of winter out of nowhere.
Whoa.
That was sad.
But a smaller grave.
Maybe he was murdered.
Yeah. He's a Midwest serial killer who just kills cows.
Whoa.
It was 4-H crime.
He might
some
have
of those 4-H
Cow
kids.
Dexter.
Some of those kids are getting scholarships, you know. That's big business.
It's true. 4-H. They wanted me out of that competition.
Bree, welcome back to Portland.
Hello. Thank you very much.
It's so good to have you back.
Just having a short
however
visit.
Temporarily.
Yep.
You're in transit now. You're LA based.
Yep.
At this point. So that's real.
I'm actually storage unit in Milwaukee, Oregon based. That's where the majority of my life is actually.
Is that where you'll be sleeping tonight?
No. Hopefully my mother left the key in the rock that I'm to find in Happy Valley, Oregon.
Oh, there you go.
I find that parents are a little untrustworthy when it comes to the rock key.
Yeah, why don't I get a key? I mean, like, hello, we're in a relationship. I should just get a key to my mom's house, but I have to look under the mat like a vagrant?
Mm-hmm. Right. And I also just think that the rock, loses its power as a disguise for your key when they place it in the dead center of the empty porch.
Yeah, that's
when
true.
They're just, you know,
yeah, that's a dead giveaway.
Porches.
I liked old times before The Rock when you just put it on top of the door on the ledge. So you might not even be able to reach it. You might have to get like a chair to get in. That's sneaky.
Right. And if it's also like shady if you are seen to be feeling around for a key or turning things up and the key's not there,
yeah.
Then, you know, you never know who's going to come down on you.
Yeah.
And spooky cops.
At one of my houses, we didn't have a key. We would just pop open a window and that looked real sketchy. You just are opening someone's window in the back.
My ex-boyfriend got into the house. Cops rolled up on him and he was 17, not wearing a shirt. Black kid, white cops.
Oh, that's not good.
Pulled a gun. He's like, look at the pictures on the wall of this house with where my family is. It's real.
Wow.
Oh, that sucks.
I know. So that's why you get a key.
Yeah. You need a key. Yeah.
Parents, give your actual children keys to your home.
Unless your children are white, and then it's fine.
Mm-hmm. Then they could just break a window and climb in.
Can call the cops and swear at them. And right. Tell them to get this fucking door open for them.
It's a hilarious tragedy that we're laughing at right now.
Just know the white people's privilege is okay to laugh at. That's funny.
Oh, okay. Good.
It's true.
As whitey, I never know. I never know these days.
Yeah, well, let me tell you. That's please. Why you're supposed to listen. How are
maybe
you guys
that's
doing?
An idea for Thank your you for podcast.
Having me. Oh,
racial instruction?
I don't think I'm the person. I'm white enough to know that I'm not the person.
No, but perhaps you could facilitate that conversation.
Mm, yeah, I could.
A foot in both worlds.
They got stuff like that.
I understand. Yeah.
That's not new. But if anybody does have ideas for a podcast for me to do, they can tweet at me, Bree Pruitt.
Well, I want to ask you about that sort of tangentially, okay. Because I was thinking about this on the way over. When is it? As a comedian, when are you doing too much? When are you putting out too many half hours? When are you doing too many podcasts? Is there such a thing as overexposure or oversaturation in comedy?
I don't think so. No. I think it's all that depends on the kind of artist you are. Okay. Speaking of podcasts that you listen to, I listen to Malcolm Gladwell's podcast, mm-hmm. And he had a great podcast about creativity and about how certain people are like Picasso and they're just like churning it out. And then certain people are like, I think he was saying, talking about Cezanne was the other person. And Cezanne sits on material and then lays a big egg. Not a goose egg. Just an egg of brilliance and genius. So there's different kinds of comedians. I'm somewhere in the middle, I think I've decided. Like, you know, I recorded an album and then I, you know, kind of came up with like another hour of comedy. And then I did a solo show and now I've got about another hour. So... I'm like on track with other comedians. Like I'm holding myself up to like Louis, whatever. Like I'm almost there. The jokes aren't as good, but I'm like working at the same pace. So I think that's heartening. But I don't think anything is too much. Unfortunately, there are people who can't keep up with like sort of the demands of new media, which is to make stuff all the time. Like I'm kind of shitty at Twitter. I should tweet more often, but I just told people to follow me on Twitter, which is not a
she's
good
not
look.
That active. She might not
but,
see it.
I'm active, but I don't think in those small, like, momentary concepts, or they're too niche, too vague for people to, like, understand what my stony brain is, like, thinking of. So that's the struggle for me.
What's the fucking use of Twitter? Come on. This is a very unpopular opinion for someone
respond,
who does media.
Right?
But it's... Oh, social media
it's
is
just
so
a response
fucking worthless.
Machine. It's not a place for original thought, really. It's a place mm-hmm. to just like, whoa, what's going on with the Emmys? You guys watching this fucking Super Bowl? Like, that's the whole point. And
yeah. And
in that way, it's kind of exciting because it's like, holy shit, shit's happening. Baltimore, you know, like, look at that, you know? So I was like, during Baltimore and during Ferguson, I was super active on Twitter and it was like really exciting. I don't know. It's always, I think it made
Arab Spring was facilitated by Facebook and Twitter.
What?
Like it was Arab Spring in like Egypt.
Oh.
Where they overthrew their dictator.
Oh, Egypt.
Essentially
yeah,
through
yeah.
kind of like, you know, nonviolent activism. That was apparently accelerated and orchestrated through social
sure.
media. So there's yeah. an example.
Yeah. I think what Twitter excels at is like comedy. it's great for like one line, two line jokes. So like comedians, there's so many comedians who are really good at Twitter.
Yeah.
And they might not even be the best like stand up, but their Twitter,
they often
Twitter game
are
is strong.
Not the best stand ups.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You guys
so,
couldn't hear that because I was talking out of the corner of my mouth.
Right.
Sneaky.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm kind of stuffed up, guys.
That's okay. You can't really tell.
Good.
But don't even okay, so do you do all this stuff because you feel like you have to, or
no.
because it's best suited to what you want to accomplish?
I have a primary directive, like a robot, and it's to make stuff. And also, when I am, and because that's what I've been doing my whole life, that's how I respond to stress and growth and experiences. That's how I process it all.
Okay, well, that's good. I'm glad.
Wouldn't
that
it
you
be
don't
great that if I could just write in a diary and not write an hour of jokes and practice them all the time and not make any money?
I think that would be worse. I mean, that would be fun. That would be supplemental. But I think this is the best way for you.
It's good. I'm really proud of the stuff I made. It's good.
LA, moving to LA.
Yeah.
Whether you feel like you, I mean, it is a step of progress. It is a step forward. It's you pushing your career to another arena. I'm curious, what was the first time you felt like you were successful at comedy?
The first time? I don't know. There have been lots of times when I felt really successful. You know, when I had an hour, that felt like, yeah, I did it. I don't know, man.
Is it a moving target, success?
Yeah, exactly. It always feels different. I was telling my dude, oh, and we were talking about it, I performed my first paying gig at Applebee's.
The Applebee's by the Lloyd Center?
The Applebee's by the Lloyd Center.
I can't believe they were doing comedy shows.
They were
there.
Trying to be the cool Applebee's. They had poker, they had comedy, and me and Alex Falcone did stand-up comedy in the corner, and I got that first paycheck. That felt like success, right?
Laughing good in the neighborhood.
Hey, there you are.
I don't know,
right there, coming through.
That was definitely one of their slogans.
How long has your comedy career been taking off, buddy?
I've got about 3 minutes of material.
It looks like
half off apps.
We've been doing this for 3.5 years. I think if you cobbled together all my best bits from 3.5 years, I'd have about 4 minutes of material.
I would love to hear that smash cut. Drew Zingers.
A smash cut would be awesome. It'd be nonstop laughs, but weaving it into a stand-up would be awful. Just awful.
So, guys.
Can we play some music? Is it time to play
I'd
some
love
music?
It.
Sure.
Stop all talking right. about comedy.
I got some shit to play for you. All right. First of all, we got to start off with some soul music.
Yes.
Yes. Lady Ray. Do you know who Lady Ray is?
No.
She was a 90s kind of just like hook. She was on the hook in a lot of Missy Elliott stuff early on. She went by Nicole. And over the years, she worked with like Dame Dash and like a lot of Missy stuff.
Dame Dala.
I wish it was Dame Dala.
That would
be cool.
Cool.
But now she's kind of taken a new turn with her career, and she's going by Lady Ray, and she's singing classic old soul.
What?
And it's so good.
I love it.
This song's called Guilty.
Keep it.
just happening upon elk or deer.
I got an unnerving thing.
Oh, yeah?
Ferns. You know the undersides of ferns when they're got spores on them?
Yeah.
Whenever those are in like an arrangement, like a bouquet, when it's like in the house and you like, for whatever reason, like scope the underside of the fern, that's unnerving. It's alien. That's what it is. It's really? Like, where did you come from? Like, you know who else had a fear of ferns? Albert Einstein.
Did he?
Yep.
How did you
learn
that?
I've heard that if you get caught in a nettle patch and you get a bunch of nettles in you, if you rub the underside of a fern on it when it's got spores coming out, yeah, it will neutralize that effect.
Well, you would know. You had a goose.
That you buried.
You buried that goose?
I had to bury that goose.
You had to bury all the animals.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Sometimes just buckets of guts from butchered animals.
That you buried them? Gross.
You had to bury the guts?
I mean, what else are you going to do with
the guts? Here lies Moo Moo Spot's guts.
Take the gut bucket to the field and do what you have to do.
Gut bucket sounds like a cute, like, fast food item.
Yeah.
I'll until you put it in that context.
Until you have to bury it.
You don't want to eat out of this one.
Because the rest of it doesn't need it.
Right. I remember me and a bunch of my friends were all tripping on acid really hard. And I was like, let's go outside for a cigarette. And there was the gut bucket. And I knew it was loaded. And I just flicked a lighter. You know, the like single flick. I didn't light the lighter, but it just lit it up like daylight. And that image was burned into probably all of our brains for the rest of our lives. Just the entire insides of a grown pig in like a metal laundry basket on the ground.
It's a description that most people, I don't think most people ponder the guts of a pig.
No.
You should write a screenplay about that.
Just coming home after tripping on acid super hard and my parents being like, here, grab onto the side of this pig's skin. We have to skin this pig in the front yard right now.
Oh my God.
It's like 7 a.m. on a Saturday.
Dude.
Yeah, that was life.
Bree, whenever you come on the show, we just like hang out for an hour.
Yeah, that's
which
fine.
Which is fantastic for us, for me and Andy and Nate.
Do you need me to do something differently?
No, I was going to ask you about that because...
Just a pleaser.
We're gonna do a segment later. We're going to make you do a segment later, so you will have to think on your toes a little bit. But like, you have a pretty good like one-on-one relationship with your audience in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
You have, it's, you know, it's a medium where you're close to the people that are observing you.
Yeah.
What do people expect? What do people want?
What do people want and expect? Well, they want me to feel, they want me to look confident, I think. They want me to think I know what I'm doing. And I think more and more, like, people both, I think, like half of audiences want to escape and half of audiences want you to engage with the reality that they share with you.
Explain that last one.
Oh, like... you know, like they either want you to tell jokes about like how wacko something we all do is, like grocery shopping is, versus why don't you talk about living in fucking Trump's America? Because that's really interesting. And that's what my day to day life is like. But because everybody has a really different experience of what living in this political life is like, it's harder to talk about. Right. It's harder to talk about also because it's like, it's intense, you know, there's a lot of, you know, there's a, it's like there's no shared reality when it comes to Trump, right? Except for like a few basic things. He's a fucking womanizer. He looks weird, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, but so also then that's the low hanging fruit, you know? So, you know, it's that like, you know, so I, like, the audience I had last night did not want to talk about it. You know, they wanted to put their fingers in the ears and have a good time. And it's like, I need to have jokes for them too. And I do. And like, I'm pretty quick to correct because, yeah, I am trying to be really connected to the people. I'm glad you noticed.
Well, I've been one of those people.
Thanks,
you know,
buddy.
Yeah. I've gotten, you know, I've gotten a high five.
You've gotten some punchlines hurled
right
at your face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've scratched me where I've itched a couple of times. Do you have a preference? Is there a kind of material that's more your speed?
It depends on the day. TBH, you know, like, y'all, I have to go on stage on some rough days, you know. I was on stage through the election. I was on stage on inauguration night. I was on stage, here's some darker moments, the Newtown Massacre. Remember when all those kids died?
Yeah.
Someone had to go make jokes that night, and it was your girl. And... That was a show where we were literally like singing Christmas songs and like doing silly sketches. So it was really easy to be silly that day. But on Inauguration Day, I have to talk about Trump. You know, I got to talk about Trump when he's elected. 45. I've been trying not to say his name.
He's a number.
Yeah. It's just a. Yeah. Guys. Cool.
Well, little did you know, Drew is a huge Trump supporter.
Yeah.
No, oh, man, that I'm joke not. Is never funny.
It's not that funny. Time. That's the problem. It's
nobody's a Trump.
It's, well, it's also it's like, I don't know. The reality of that is like it's tough. So,
well, so I'm not at all a Trump supporter. I'm going to say that out loud so everybody understands.
Who'd you vote for, Jill Stein? Y'all, no. You voted for Jill Stein.
No,
Steiner.
I didn't actually waste my vote.
I thought about it, y'all.
Did you?
Yeah, because I heard this great interview with her on. Hari Kondabolu and W. Kamau Bell's podcast, and she was so smart and eloquent, and she made good points about the Democratic Party's letting everybody down, and you know it fucking is, but you know we didn't know. I didn't vote for her though. I did vote for Hillary.
It would be okay. It would be defensible. Whereas I feel like a vote for Trump is less defensible.
Now don't look at me. I voted for Mac Dre.
The problem.
Yeah, write in every year.
Every single year. Even though he's dead. Maybe it'll bring him back to life, the ghost of Mac Dre. That'd be
of
a
Mac
sweet
Dre.
President.
I can't get too political on this show because it's, you know, I find myself too far afield very quickly. But my only problem with the Jill Steins or the third party is I actually do believe that government should play a pretty big role in people's lives.
Yeah.
I believe it should accomplish things. I believe it needs to. I sort of believe in government. I don't believe that we shouldn't have any government.
Yeah.
Like, you know, certain libertarians do or anything like that. They have some good ideas in there. And a more free society in some ways, I think, is a good thing. But I'm a Democrat because I believe government should do a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's got the reach to do so.
Whew. Y'all, I do think it's, like, great that we're going through this to, like, to the people who have not been very civically engaged in the last eight years,
yeah, totally.
To get more civically engaged. I definitely count myself among those people. And I am self-employed for the first time because of comedy. Man, taxes are a lot. You guys.
You're beginning the slow road to conservatism.
So
much. Yeah.
This is how it starts. But you know what? I look at the list and I'm like, yeah, I want to pay for that. I want to pay for that. I want to pay for that. When we get into the military spending, I'm like, I don't know, fellas. Do we really have to?
Man. And but we don't. The military will tell you that we don't.
There's really? A county in Oregon that just turned down a vote for a 41-cent tax increase. And by turning down that certain thing, they shut down 14 libraries in that county. There's not a library in that county anymore.
Oh, Oregon.
Their fees were 35 cents. This was 41 cents. They get to wipe the slate clean and save 6 cents.
But it's like, you know, I'll pay for Social Security. I don't know how that money is being managed. It's a lot of money that they're getting from me, you know. So I don't know. I'm trying to be more thoughtful about all that stuff. It's crazy that we don't teach kids that stuff in public schools like they do in every other fucking country in the world.
I know. You're right about that. There is an awareness of civic responsibility that wasn't there, myself included.
Let's start writing to Betsy Voss every day, y'all. Betsy, listen.
Well, she doesn't believe in education, so it's going to be a tough. Uh-oh. It's a tough sell.
Her family runs my hometown.
Really?
Yeah, the DeVos family. They own Amway, which is set up in like the suburbs of Grand Rapids.
Oh, like those little bars of soap.
Yeah,
they own Amway. Like that's so evil.
They own many things. They own restaurant chains.
Isn't Amway super evil? Isn't it a pyramid scheme?
I thought they're the pyramid scheme for the elderly.
It's 100% a pyramid scheme.
Wow.
I worked there for a while.
Sure.
It was just like the place you worked when you wanted to do temp work. You know.
No, but seriously, is it?
I literally stared at a row of shampoo bottles going by looking for drips for 8 hours.
If you're an Amway salesperson, aren't you like selling to your friends and family? Isn't it kind of like that?
It's a pyramid scheme.
It is a pyramid scheme.
Yeah, they make a substandard product that you can get for relatively cheap, and everybody's got a garage full of it. Garage sale season, you always come up on an Amway house all the time.
Amway house.
Yeah.
Well, Andy, what else you got in the jam department?
Oh, let's see.
It's time for some
tunes
after our political dalliance.
Heated political debates.
Let's listen to some Lizzo.
Okay.
Yes! I love Lizzo so much, dude. And I missed her at Doug Fur.
Oh, man. I heard she killed at Tree Fort, too. She had a giant twerking King Kong on stage.
Lizzo Bean. That's her Instagram. It's very cute.
The song's called Excuse Me.
Look up in the mirror, oh my God, it's me. So much pride on me, I'm a prodigy. I'ma do my thing, no apologies. Coconut and rose in my skin regime. Mirror, mirror on the wall, tell me what you see. It's that, oh my God, it's looking heavenly. Ooh. Hopping Power Rangers, purple, yellow, pink. Throwing ones, wonder what my mama think. Feeling like a stripper when I'm looking in the mirror. I be slapping on that ass, getting thicker and thicker. Ooh. I don't see nobody else. Ooh. Excuse me while I feel myself. Excuse me while I feel myself. Ooh. I don't see nobody else. Ooh. Excuse me while I feel myself. Excuse me while I feel myself. Look up in the mirror, oh, I'm having visions. Feeling like a million, oh, I can get it. When I'm looking in the mirror, I be slapping on that ass, getting thicker and thicker. Ooh.
I don't see nobody else. Ooh. Excuse me while I feel myself. Excuse me while I feel myself. Ooh. I don't see nobody else. Ooh. Excuse me while I feel myself. Okay, now spoon in here. Now start a soup. That spoon, spoon. That spoon, spoon. Ooh, 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 ooh. I don't need a crown to know that I'm a queen. Ooh, 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 ooh. I don't need a crown to know that I'm a queen. Ooh.
I go bean burrito, no onions. That's a staple. That's the only must in my Taco Bell order.
I gotta go crunchy taco. Crunchy beef taco.
You would draft that early?
I don't know if I would draft it early, but it's absolutely something I have to have every time I go
it's
to Taco
It's a utility
Bell.
Player. It's a
what
good
do you
thing.
Do? What do you do at Taco Bell?
My new like number one all-star is the quesarito.
What? It's what is a quesarito? Favorite.
It's a burrito wrapped in a quesadilla.
Sure.
So there's a layer of cheese around like a regular burrito.
So now that you're a health nut, you know that Taco Bell bean burritos are the lowest cal menu item.
Yeah, they are the healthiest fast food
So
item.
It's a good anchor.
Thank you.
If you're trying to go low cal.
It's true. That's the healthy
I think
one.
It's a versatile player. Like right now, tonight, I'm drinking Coors Light. And Coors Light is my favorite beer, not because it tastes the best, but because it wins in the most categories.
Ooh.
Like, it's a very versatile beer. I've always said sure. that it's great on a summer day.
Pairs great with all kinds of different foods.
Sure. It can. Mm. You can drink, when you know you're going to drink 10 of something,
yeah.
you definitely want to have that.
Oh, you know what?
Coors Light's good for them. I like that they had a blazer symbol on the can for a season. That was kind of cool.
That was cool. I do not drink alcohol, but Diet Coke is my Coors Light. And Diet Coke cans are totally perfect. Like, they feel great in your hand. They're cold.
Yeah.
They're delicious. But what I found out when I went to Mexico and Spain is that Coca Light is better than Diet Coke.
Whoa, is it just the low sugar version of Coke?
No, it's Diet Coke in Spain and Mexico.
Oh, they make it different.
They make it different.
It's like Mexican Coke where it's made with real ingredients.
It's so bad. It's like amazing. So that'll be my next rung of success after moving to LA is getting Coca Light flown in.
What do you guys think of those tiny cans?
The cocktail cans?
Yeah.
I love a cocktail can.
Those are pretty great.
Who can afford them?
Yeah.
On my budget? Hell no.
Yeah. They're pretty great, though.
I've been on some
to just like hold
flights
in your hand and feel like a giant.
Yeah,
I like it because sometimes I don't want a whole can.
Yeah, it's
that's also going to be another measure of success when I have different kinds of Diet Coke around. I've got the 8 ounce can. I've got the tiny can.
Yeah,
I've got it in some other. Ooh, I like the aluminum bottle.
Yeah,
those are cool.
Yeah, I collect the whole set.
Those I love how cold those feel. I'm sure. Big on the temperature, and those really get to a cold.
I think the cold feeling is just a feeling, though, right?
Yeah.
Can we agree that it doesn't? It's not actually colder.
No, there's no such thing as frost brewing anything. Nothing can be, you know, extra zero.
They take it to sub-zero temperatures.
What
and
a refreshing!
Scrape off this layer of scum that you would normally drink if you didn't frost brew it.
What I like about the Coors Light also is how transparent they are in their brainwashing. The blue can is just a psychosomatic coldness, but yeah. I totally buy in.
Totally.
Oh, yeah. I don't tap the Rockies until it's ice blue.
Right. Yeah. Bluer than the Mediterranean.
You know how they have the one where it's like cold and then it says like Rocky Fresh or whatever it is? When that one's blue, then I drink it.
Rocky Fresh sounds so goddamn refreshing, though.
Yeah.
A Rocky Fresh anything? Mm-hmm. I just want to... Like, Bree, do you ever wake up in the middle of the night with just a powerful thirst?
Sure.
I sometimes the thirst hits me, and I have to get myself out of bed no matter what hour and just pound something in front of the refrigerator.
Powerful thirst.
I have been so thirsty in the night that I have chugged a glass of milk at, like, 3 a.m. That
oh,
is
that
not...
sounds refreshing. A nice, like, that's one that you left bizarre out on the counter, and it was kind of warm.
No, I can't do that.
Force it down.
When the thirst hits, it has to be Rocky Fresh. Anything Rocky Fresh. Like, if you can score a Gatorade, if for some reason I didn't finish a Gatorade and the thirst hits around 3 a.m, oh, man, I literally smile to myself.
Sometimes you smoke a little bit too much weed. You guys know what I'm talking about?
I do.
Bit too much ganja, man. And then you are real thirsty in the middle of the night. One time I left the heat on. Then you wake up thirsty. You're in some kind of place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you ever fall asleep in your clothes, fully dressed?
Sure.
I do that all the time.
My clothes are just like jammies because they're just all stretchy leggings and dresses.
In fact, most Monday nights are clothes nights because I get home from this show at about midnight and I'm just in.
Do you guys ever fall asleep with a beer in your hand or a Diet Coke in your hand?
No, sir.
And wake up to it pouring into your own crotch?
No.
That's a weird way to wake up.
I'd say that's a...
You're mad at yourself immediately. For doing it and for wasting that precious liquid.
Yeah. You got to change your sheets.
Yeah.
When that happens to you, Andy, have you convinced yourself as you're going to sleep that that won't happen? So you're drifting off and you're like, of course I'm not going to, I'm squeezing this can right now.
Well, I'm trying to just like make it through this last episode of Legion and I don't want to fall
asleep. How's Legion?
It's pretty good.
Okay.
They take their time.
That's a tepid review.
I like it. I'm a comic book nerd though and I know exactly...
I don't know, man. I watch the shit out of stuff that I do not care for all the time. It's
I do
crazy.
Too. This one, though, no, I do care about it. Legion was cool. It was very kind of meta and had a lot of cool, like, visual stuff going on.
Yeah.
It was a real slow burn, though.
I just watched.
They only
some
did
of
eight
those...
episodes. The whole season's 8 episodes.
Huh?
It's a very British move, you know.
Yeah, I like that actually.
Yeah.
It's like I don't want to be in this, you know.
Yeah.
This. It's called Z, The Beginning of Everything, about F. Scott Fitzgerald's wife, Christina Ricci, Amazon
Prime. That's an
Amazon Prime
show, yeah.
It's so beautiful, but like, I don't know if I really give a shit about this.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about Amazon Prime.
Really?
In general, just all...
I love Transparent.
Yeah, Transparent's really good.
I'm trying to think what other original shows that they have there.
Man in the High Castle.
Mississippi Oaks.
No, I guess.
Or One Mississippi. That's what it's called. Red Oaks.
Oh, with Tig. Yes.
Red Oaks is the show about the country club. That's a show they have.
That's gotten picked up. Isn't The Tick on Amazon Prime?
Yeah, The Tick's
on. My friend is on that show, Griffin.
Oh, that's
awesome. He's really funny. He's like, I worked at a camp with him.
Nice.
Yeah.
I loved The Tick comic book and cartoon as a kid. And I actually really enjoy the old live action one that bombed.
Yeah.
It was actually pretty great.
The one with David
Patrick,
Putty.
Yeah. Patrick Warburton.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that one too. Have you, honed in on what the show that you're going to eventually pitch in the next, 6 months is going to be?
Yeah, I wrote it.
Did you?
Yeah, I wrote my pilot.
Are you allowed to tell people what it's about?
Well, nobody fucking wants it. Like, nobody's asking me. So, yeah, I think so. It's a story about a comedian who's struggling. And one day she's hosting, Andy, your shirt.
Oh, my shirt might be empty.
You're on fire, so stop. Okay, great.
All right, cool.
So just go ahead and pour that Diet Coke right down there. And
just go ahead and nod off.
It's okay. I poured it on myself.
This comedian is hosting a plus-size modeling event. She gets roped into plus-size modeling. She's like, wow, you could really make some money plus-size modeling. Her friend, roommate, happens to be a model, but she broke her leg and she's gaining a bunch of weight. So she's like accidentally slipping into plus size modeling. And they're all people of color. And then they've got a best friend, Becky, who's like a literal Becky. And then they've got a friend, Todd, who's a stylist. And then there are these buster comedians that she keeps sleeping with. That's the show.
Nice.
That sounds great. Is that all, like, you set the table for that in the pilot? You've written the pilot?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That sounds fantastic.
I'd watch the shit out of that.
You
absolutely
think so?
Would watch
with
that
me?
Show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it because, I wrote this solo show last year and I talk about bodies a lot, talk about beauty standards, talk about women. And that would be like a platform for me to talk about all that stuff.
Yeah. I was thinking about...
Because you don't want to do a show about doing stand-up, right? You guys are the public. Tell me what you think.
See, I really like how they handle that on Maria Bamford's show. How they're constantly being like, don't do that. Don't fucking do the stand-up
funny.
On the show.
But she was like, I am a stand-up. I have to.
Yeah.
I guess they handled
that really well in that show. It made me really think about it. Like, man, you're right. Like, it didn't work very well with Mulaney at all.
Well, people are so over it.
Yeah.
Not even the public, because I don't think any of those shows really, like, has done that well. Yeah. Like, in the mainstream, besides Seinfeld.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think people like it.
I was going to say, just personally, I think the idea, you're always like, oh, man, there are a lot of those shows. But then I think of them individually, like, I like Pete Holmes' TV show. I think it's pretty good. It's the premise is him as a comedian.
I like Louis.
Louis. I really Louis like that.
I love Louis.
I mean, Aziz Ansari's show is him as an actor, which I still thought was
a
really great
that's
show.
That's a cool move. To me, that's what you want to do. Aziz wants to talk about, these issues about like sets and stuff like that. You know, just do something slightly different, which is what I'm trying to do, which is also what I'm trying to do in real life. I'm just trying to pivot into modeling.
Nice.
So this is both a showcase of your writing
and
skills
what
and your body.
Me trying to manifest the future.
But, I mean, your show, honestly, just as an observer, since you pivot immediately to another world that has a lot of opportunity for commentary about things, I think it's really a nice intersection of both those things.
I'm so all about intersectionality.
As long as you have something else, I think, at this point, that's a valid premise.
So, Brie, we got to get to the real question here.
Yes.
You've been down in California a little bit.
Yeah.
How's that weed?
I've been smoking all that Oregon weed, baby.
Oh, you're still sticking with the OG OR.
Well, I have a lot of it, and I just went ahead and committed the crime of taking it with me. And
I think it's cool because it's legal there, too.
It's legal there, too, yeah. It's not a big deal. But they do ask you at the border if you have any produce. And
oh, man, that totally.
Think
I
might be
that's
lying.
A gray area.
Happened to us. So we were on, my band was on tour last weekend. And we were.
Humble brag.
That's right. That's right.
Drew,
I'm just going to let
you. Called
I won't quit. How was that tour?
Won't quit.
It was fun. We can tell some tour stories. We went to Ashland, Sacramento, San Francisco, Oakland, and Salem.
That's cool.
Quick 5-day run.
Cool.
And the person who was helping us out with our merch and stuff like that was from California. And he said, oh, yeah, he told us about the produce. They're going to ask you at the border what kind of produce we have, and they're just going to throw stuff away. If we don't. And we had a bag of oranges, little cuties. And he was like, yeah, they're probably going to make us throw that away. So we were just, like, wolfing down cuties for a day, eating, like, six at a time because we thought we had to get rid of them. And then we go to the border, and then we hadn't finished. And so we're like, we do have this bag of oranges. And I'm like, oh, that's okay. And so we've just been choking down cuties for hours and hours and hours.
There's no way you guys are getting scurvy.
But that is the thing. Like, we were in this van together for 5 days, not sleeping and driving everywhere and drinking, and none of us got sick. So I think we were really just fortified by our big cutie binge.
Because that's what happens to me when cutie I go binge. On tour. I get scurvy. Just all those burritos and Mickey's.
No, have you done a tour? Have you done the van thing and city to city?
I mean, not really. I guess right now is like my tour, but I have slept in my car a couple of times. Like, because
that counts.
Sometimes it's just not financially feasible to like go get a hotel room in another city. So you just got to like kick it in a van. So like one time I did an event that was like an outdoor show. Oh, you guys have probably heard of it. It's called... it's outside, it's east of Seattle.
Sasquatch?
No, it's like there's a winter version and a summer version. The winter version is called Burr. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember.
And the summer version is called
Damn it. It's a really lovely festival too. It's like families, they just take over this campground at this like it's like outside of Redmond, Washington. And instead of camping, I just slept in my car because like, then one time I had to stand in line for this NBC thing and I slept in my car because I had to get up at like 5 a.m. downtown Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I found it, you know, you rolled up and you are kind of living between worlds. You had your suitcase and your shoes.
Yeah.
And so I think that there is a lot of lessons or a lot of overlap between being on tour and being homeless in that you're taking everything you have with you.
Yeah. A lot of comedy people roll like that, you know, like my friend Monica Nevy, like I'm taking her sublet in LA. Like we're all just riding really dirty.
By the seat of your pants.
Yeah.
And, but what sustains you I found is not necessarily the hours you sleep or where you sleep, but it's like eating normal food is really important.
Yeah.
And keeping yourself as clean as possible is important.
Yeah.
Because then
and
you can sustain
your laundry done.
You can sustain homelessness and tour almost indefinitely if you satisfy those two conditions.
I've been really empowered by this, like, because I moved to LA with just like not very much, you know, because I'm slowly transitioning. So I like did that thing that they always life hack on the internet, like to have 30 pieces of clothing in your closet. Mm-hmm. And just cycle through like.
Do they tell you what those 30 pieces outfits ought to be? Like they give you the like six shirts.
No,
eight
it's,
pairs of
yeah,
socks.
Yeah, sort of. It's like, you know, here's a dress, here's a skirt, here's separates and, you know, suit, you know.
So you can make that into
a lot of different looks,
a lot of iterations.
And I was just killing it this past few weeks.
Did you get rid of a bunch of shit?
I got rid of so much shit.
Oh, yeah.
Footloose and fancy free.
Did you find it as empowering as that little book about cleaning says you ought to?
And listen to me here and now, gentlemen, in this garage in Southeast Portland. That little book is great, and I love it.
I've read it.
I hear it's great. I have not read it, as you can
Marie
tell by
Kondo,
my garage.
Shout out Marie Kondo. Shout out the Japanese Art of Tidying.
Spark Joy, which I think is her follow-up to that book. So I got, I read the whole book, but I only executed the part where you get rid of everything, and that was extremely satisfying. And,
oh, yeah.
And it's like
best.
Cured me of my... I wasn't a big hoarder to begin with, but I purge everything now. I get rid of a shit ton of like notes and photos. Ooh. I mean, like I went deep.
Photos, y'all. I threw away all my yearbooks.
Oh.
Yeah, that kind of shit.
Did
I had a whole
that?
Box. Yeah,
did
just
you
a whole
that?
Box of that
Yeah, I did
shit.
That a long time ago. That was
really
liberating. Yeah.
That's cool because everybody else I've said that to was like, oh no, what about your yearbooks?
But yeah, you say that,
oh,
but you
check
never
this out.
Look at that
I wasn't
that
even
shit.
In my senior yearbook.
Whoa.
I was such a rebel, I didn't even give him a picture. To
That's
have
great.
There. It was just a black spot and then my name.
Really?
Yeah.
They put a black spot there? Yeah. Was it a silhouette or like just a black box?
Just a black box.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Because you realize you remember, like you looked through the yearbook, you like saw it, you know, probably like the first year, like 100 times, right? You just like look at it,
mm-hmm.
and then you remember it. It's not like it's, you know.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. after that, you start drawing dicks on everybody.
Yeah.
And then nobody wants to look at it.
So like, I have so many rolls of film that I've developed. I take like one picture out of each roll of film.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's about all I have. A shoebox now. Yeah, it's
so
great.
Me and Nate were at the show, and they handed out those disposable cameras.
Yeah.
And we thought, we're going to take a bunch of pictures, and we're going to leave it in like a bucket on the way out, and they're probably going to use these for some promotion. And it turned out, no, those were for us. And I wasted all those pictures on strangers. I just was taking pictures of random strangers walking through crowds. Now I kind of want to develop them and see what they look like.
I thought you were alternating between strangers and taint. Just yeah. every other one, taint photo.
Balls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They could promote, I don't know what, flesh-colored tapestries or Trump. Something like that.
Yeah, it would make a big Trump face. Yeah.
Politics. Hey, can I just heard about Trump. The best Trump impersonator, Tony Atomiak, I don't know how to say his last name, is just got picked up to do a Comedy Central late-night show as Trump.
As Trump.
Every night.
Oh, really?
Don't you think that sounds like a blast?
That does sound like God. A blast.
I can't believe that's a thing. That's
and
crazy.
Also, you guys should be watching Desus and Mero. You guys watching Desus and Mero?
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's great. It's on so Wasteland. Good. These dudes do a show every night, and it's great.
Tell me about the show. I have not heard
They're
of it.
They're just like two dudes from New York, and they just got hot takes on. It's like basically the news items that I want to talk about every day, which mm-hmm. is like, here's what Trump said. Here's what it means. And look at this thing on World Star. And
yeah,
like...
It's super interesting.
Check out this thing on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel any sort of responsibility as we're all going through this to talk about it more in your act or in your creative outlets? Like, do you feel like you have to do something since you have like a platform?
Yeah. I mean, I've always felt like I should be doing something else besides just making the funny jokes.
Yeah.
But that's the first job. So that's what I'm trying to do first. And then... everything else is
yeah I'm not I guess I would not argue that you have that responsibility at all. In the same way you were describing your audience going after two different things,
yeah,
there's definitely a role to be played by
I feel like just my job is laugh. To serve the audience, right. You know, and a lot of times I'm in crowds where it's like, look, I know, you know, that I'm not in a place to like educate these people today, right? And I'm always trying to do spoonful of sugar, right? I'm always trying to get in the back. I'm always with the message, you know. Anyway, I'm trying to be sneaky. I think I do a pretty good job.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of serving our fans, let's give the our fans the sugar they're here to swallow.
Yeah.
In the form of some music, Andy.
Ooh. L. Michaels Affair. L. Michaels. E.L. Oh. Michaels Affair.
I thought Ooh. It was about broadcast sports broadcaster L. Michaels.
These guys are instrumental funk band. And they really took off when they started doing Wu-Tang covers.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And, man, their first album was pretty cool. It kind of, I don't know, it was not my favorite. I'm a big Wu-Tang fan, but they just released...
Did they do Gravel Pit?
I don't know if they do Gravel Pit. They probably do.
That's a pretty dope cut.
This is Tears. And this is off their new album they just put up on Bandcamp that's all the unreleased stuff from the 37's Chambers.
Thank you.
Janine Garofalo, Andy Kindler, Jackie Kashian, Baron Vaughn, Jonah Ray, Matt Bronger, Guy Branum, Ian Carmel, Marcel Aguayo, Kevin Avery, Eliza Skinner, Glory Kilmartin, Dave Hill, Shane Moss, Nick Vatterott, Nico Santos, Annie Lederman, Hampton Yount, Joel Kim Booster, Amon Barucha, Alan Strickland, Williams, Mike Kaplan.
No, it's great.
I could go on.
And hilarious. More.
Who else? Who else? Maggie May, amazing. Billy Wayne Davis, so funny. Caitlin Gill, Matt Kirsch, and Janine Brito.
Caitlin Gill's great.
All these people are amazing. Shane Torres.
I love Caitlin Gill. She was here
Ian
for
Abramson, Brian Cook,
All Jane Fest.
Bree Pruitt, Sean Jordan, Stephen Wilbur. Jesse
Steve Wilbur, yeah. Kristen Ricketts.
What else we got? Caleb Sinan is really funny, you guys. If you've seen him. Amy Miller, so funny. Nate Craig is really funny. He would totally do the show. He's super chill.
Nice.
Brad Silnitzer is totally rad. Their show is about drinking. It's like a drinking show. I did it in Portland. It was bonkers. We were in this backyard in Northeast Portland. There was a fucking huge American flag behind the stage, and there was a half pipe in this weird house in Northeast Portland, like North Portland. It's like by the Portland Raceway, I think. I don't know. You guys been to that?
I've not
I know exactly
been
where
house.
It is. My
you
wife
do?
Used to play softball right by it. I've never been to it though.
It's crazy.
They were just going to be this big Adult Swim thing there, and I was going to go watch a big movie,
Tight.
And there was a snowstorm instead.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Well, Bree, yes. Will you play a little game with us?
Okay.
We have a game. I don't remember if we played this with you before, but it's called License Plate Detective.
Okay.
And basically, Andy goes around and he identifies license plates that are clearly vanity plates, but that he has no idea what they're really going for.
Okay,
by that,
I'm
he means I'm wildly distracted while driving because I'm constantly staring at license plates of other cars.
Yeah. Always veering
I do
into
a lot
other
of driving.
Lanes. Yeah.
I drive around to the parking lots of a lot of Burlington Coat Factories and Jack in the Boxes and see some cool ass license plates.
So we're just going to help him solve a couple cases here in License Plate Detective. Andy, what is the first plate that you saw? These are real plates, by the way.
Oh, these are all real plates. Let's see. Let's start with this one. The letter Y, the number 2, me, and then the number 2.
Y2, me 2. So my first thought was that it was a Y2K-themed license plate. Which
it doesn't make sense though. Why two me two? So
it was like a question.
It could be
around
Y2K.
Why two me too?
Is it like?
It was like the title of a brochure about Y2K compliance.
Why two me too?
How you can get involved? in safeguarding your digital life.
I think it's like one of those things that you're supposed to say out loud.
Mm-hmm.
It's like why two me too. It's like
a personal mantra.
It actually means nice to meet you.
Yeah.
If you say it fast enough. Why to meet you?
Yeah.
Well, it's a little bit of Spanglish because E, Y is and.
Oh, yeah. Is this
and
in a different language?
You, possibly.
Could be.
Why?
Why to?
No spaces.
No,
there's
spaces. Y2 is one, and then me is one, and then there's a space.
Oh, this is important.
I'm sorry. I didn't lay
that. I was putting them all together, too, so I thought maybe the word
Y2.
There's spaces. That's why it was extra crazy. Y2, space, M-E, space, the number 2.
Y'all, do you speak Spanish?
E2, me, 2. E-dos, me-dos.
It's like two people, and two people.
What?
So E in Spanish is and.
Oh. Yeah.
That's the only Spanish word in that,
that
mix of letters and numbers.
Okay. And what's me?
Me is nothing in Spanish. Me, M-I is me, like mi amigos.
Yeah, so it shatters the Spanish part of it.
Spanglish. That's why I said Spanglish.
Oh, okay.
Y, E, and 2.
So this is a terrible vanity plate. But I think this is a license plate detective cold case.
I'm
not
what?
Sure.
I'm saying we need to bring in a Spanish speaking homie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
a license plate solely to confuse other people.
What I was thinking is it's like symbolic to them. Like, you know, those goddamn, I hate this so fucking much when people have those marathon numbers on the back of their cars. Jeez.
Wait, like their race so bib?
Mad. No,
just the number 26 or whatever, 13.5.
It's how long a marathon is.
Wait, where do they put this? Is
there's
this
just a
thing?
Little oval with that number on the back of a million
those.
Subarus.
I think this might be like that, where Y2 means something to them. It's like yearly to me to like, I don't know.
It's, maybe it's your two. It's a terrible plate. It's a bad vanity plate, and unfortunately, it's going to be an unsolved license plate.
That's a bad one. Okay, here's a good one. Bat-gas.
So
all together.
B-A-T.
With a hyphen in the middle, which I didn't even know you could fucking get on a license plate.
Yeah, bat-gas.
G-A-S.
Bat-gas.
I love that one.
I think that's the words for a phone number for a bat exterminator.
That's
like 503 bat gas.
Yeah.
Exterminator. Are there any context clues?
No, none at all. I forget these cars. I only see license plates. I don't even remember. Every once in a while, I'll write down a description of a vehicle, but mostly I'm just focused on those plates.
The dash is really important in this case. Although I'm trying to think of the combination.
It sort of reminds me of the classic Seinfeld license plate, Ass Man.
Ass Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great one. And he confronts that proctologist at the end. He winks at him.
Because why wouldn't it just be a space? Bat gas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how do you get that? You can just...
And I think if you were being like a funny guy, no space. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like a funny guy is just like, ha, bat gas.
Yeah, I'm Batman and I fart a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That guy is like, no, I mean, that's a guy that doesn't think of a hyphen.
No.
Yeah.
And what does a hyphen represent in lost letters? Like,
it doesn't represent. Oh.
Is it one letter? Is it two letters? What did he sacrifice for that dash?
Well, it was an Oregon plate, so really it was just the space in between or the one character you could have put there.
What's the max that you get? You get six?
You get six
seven. Letters?
You can get seven if you want.
Up to seven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bat gas.
That was a
pass.
Bad,
hard pass.
I think it was a bad choice on that guy's point. Part. That's a weird one.
Okay. What's another one, Andy?
I don't know if I said this one before, but this was pretty great. My son
bat
saw
gas.
This one. Salads.
Huh.
I love it.
S-A-L-A-D-S.
This is just a proud vegan.
Yeah.
This is just a fucking Portland veggie loving fool, and like I don't hate that person.
Nah.
Like I'm so glad they found salads. Like I love salads.
They're salad enthusiasts.
Tell me about your salad choices.
Talk about like a versatile. We're talking about Coors Light being versatile. A salad, I think,
good. Covers all
a breakfast salad. Have you ever had a breakfast salad with a nice drizzle?
It's... Break a runny egg over a pile of arugula.
That is fantastic.
Spinach. Yeah, absolutely. Also, have you ever been to an Applebee's and had a salad with like 45 chicken wings on top of
y'all,
it?
Y'all, I just had a salad at Applebee's and it was like a side salad. It was like perfect side salad. Nobody could. It had bacon and cheese and tomato on it and cucumber. And it was a nightmare.
Yeah.
They're over-served there, too. Like, it's a big plate of salad.
Do you guys have less listeners in Portland?
We do.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you about the best salad in town. Portland, Oregon, today. Actually, you might only be able to get on the weekends. Loretta Jean's Southeast Division Baker Salad. It's just incredible. There's just the, because it's a bakery, the croutons are amazing, and there's a lot of texture. There's like always roasted vegetables and then like a poached egg on top.
That sounds amazing.
Oh man, that place is great.
I just am shouting out Loretta Jean's all the time.
Sure. A lot of Portland listeners and listeners for whom Portland is a vacation spot. So there's your vacation salad.
And,
nothing more delicious than a vacation salad.
A lot of new listeners in Tokyo. What's up, Tokyo?
Hey, Tokyo.
Yo, Tokyo.
We'll describe salads to you all day long. How do you feel about a wedge salad?
I love a wedge salad.
Me too. Love a
wedge
salad.
I like a wedge salad too, but I also really like blue cheese.
I'm a huge blue cheese fan from way back.
As a 10-year-old, I used to go and get the little salad cups at the grocery store and fill them with blue cheese and just eat it with my finger while I walked around.
See, Bree, if you do your cheese podcast, Andy should be one on your writing staff, at least. He could be on your research team.
Are you?
I'm a big cheese guy. Yeah, absolutely. But this stupid-ass dumb diet has me not eating cheese right now. So right now I'm like sneaking cheese.
Are you like keto or something?
I've got like Crohn's.
Oh, okay.
So I'm trying this new diet to like kill it.
Got
and, like,
it.
Get it back down to baseline so I can eat like a normal person. Basically, I talk about this too much and nobody wants to hear about it. But I'm eating a lot of eggs and meat.
Eggs and meat?
And
yeah,
bananas.
It's a way to go.
But you never
like
look better.
I'm eating like a toddler. I'm eating things that are squishy.
It's like sometimes life can just be about other good things like movies and like friends and like beer.
Exactly.
And marijuana.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right now I'm eating a lot of chicken and vegetables and that's fine.
It's great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what you're supposed to eat. Mostly supposed to eat raw vegetables, fruits.
I don't really like chicken.
I don't really like chicken either.
I've been eating a lot of salmon though and I do like salmon.
Salmon's great.
It's expensive though, guys.
Since we've gotten political, I've been thinking a lot about
salmon.
Well,
how political they are.
Just quickly, I red meat is very. I love red meat. I'm a big red meat fan, but it's such an environmentally disastrous kind of food to produce. Just throwing that out there since we got a little political.
Leo DiCaprio
might have to think about it.
Was like hard anti beef, and he was telling the world about it.
Right, and that guy knows. That guy fucking knows. Andy, do you have one more plate before we
close
the detective agency?
Go back to the buffet.
I have
get one more plate.
Salads.
Hundreds.
Well, get us one that we can actually figure out here.
Oh, salads.
Man. I mean, salads, we figured it out. That's no mystery.
Yeah. There's just so
many. It's like a jaywalking crime for this
detective
agency.
I think the salad person might own like a salad store.
I think so, too. I always think of the promotion of a weird personal business angle.
Yes.
That's one of my first thoughts.
Bat
so why
gas.
Two, me too. Got nothing. Bat gas.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. C-H-A-B-O-K.
C-H-A-B-O-K. All one word?
Yeah.
Chibok?
That is a very interesting word, right? Do you think that this one was one of the ones that might make us seem really dumb because it might be a different language too?
That doesn't make us seem really...
Or sea habbock.
I think it sounds like a delicious vegetable.
See ha, be okay.
Right.
There you go.
I get what that means.
See, I said we
maybe should... they own a cha-cha-cha, and they're just letting you know that cha be okay.
The cha, it's okay. It'll be okay.
Hey, you got bigger fish to fry than cha.
Cha
be okay.
All right. Cha gonna be all right.
Don't sweat it for cha because cha go be okay.
Cha be okay.
That's exactly
that's just a reaffirming life mantra as well.
Yeah, because they did close that one on Northwest 21st, but cha be okay.
Yeah.
I think that's absolutely it.
Chab, isn't chab a Thai word? Chab?
Yeah. I have no idea.
Guys.
I just wanted to believe.
I hope so.
Well, Andy, I have to say we did our best, but
I didn't think we did great. I thought I was going to be
those
great
are bad
at this.
Ones.
I'm more of an amateur detective than I am anything else.
Give
I
me
think
some
I just threw
ones
out some
that,
weird ones.
Some fun ones.
How about
you've
one
seen?
More? How about
like B? Penis 5?
Yeah. Oh, here we go. This one B space W P E.
B W P like butt wipe?
I think that's what it is.
A little B wipe?
B wipe. That's a weird one to put. What could it not? What could, else could it be?
Well,
right?
B wipe is what like you would say if you were like a little kid growing up in a house where you weren't allowed to say anything bad.
Butt wipe.
But you can't even say butt in this home.
Dingus.
Like my parents were against the word suck.
Yeah.
It took a long time before me and my sister got to push suck into my parents' face because they didn't like that. They weren't.
Because that means suck my dick. That's what the parents were thinking when they heard you say that.
They thought every time I said something sucks, I was saying, man, this sucks dick.
That's exactly what they heard. Because otherwise, that was what it had, that's where that originated from, I think.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Oh.
This sucks butt.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And they were like, oh, okay, he's talking about sucking butts. That's silly.
So it's a vanity plate they got for like their 6-year-old son, the B wipe. That's butt wipe. A little butt wipe mobile. Okay, I feel a little bit better.
I feel a little bit
better. You lobbed that softball right across the fat part of the plate. Yeah. And
I still thought I was going to be able to get these better, but they're so weird.
I usually think I'm going to be awesome ones. At it. You know who was good? Anthony. Anthony's pretty good.
Anthony Lopez?
Yeah.
Anthony Lopez can spin a yarn into gold because he's got a silver tongue. Oh, let me tell you something right now. When I'm working on my TV pilot, Anthony Lopez, who I go to, because he is so good with story. He's just like such a genius. He's my favorite comedian. Do you guys know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Favorite comedian. Nice. Anthony Lopez, Portland, Oregon.
I will give a little shout out to Milwaukee, Oregon. Our friend Tasha. Okay. Saw him for the first time about a month ago, and he is her favorite comedian.
Yes.
Yeah.
They both grew up Pentecostal, I think he did.
Yes,
and
he
she
did.
Definitely did. And she was like, oh, I love, she just wants to talk to him. So.
It's really good to have people Huge echo your experiences. That's what I'm saying. Absolutely. That's what's good about comedy. Like, that's really what we're trying to do, right? Echo experiences and, like, just, you know, let people feel like part of something. It's good.
That's why I like Ian Carmel so much, because he has a lot of good jokes about sandwiches. And those are very special to me.
Yeah.
That is the Pentecostal upbringing of food humor.
It's true.
Well, Bree, I like that. I like that as a way to go out. To put a little bow on the show. We're glad you're back in Portland for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
I think that by the time people hear this, the next show will be a part of Bridgetown Comedy.
Cool.
Which is taking place in just a couple of weeks.
We'll definitely come out to Earthquake Hurricane on the Wednesday before Bridgetown, which I think is the 4th or 5th, because that's always going to be a dope show to catch, because it's the third Wednesday, the 3rd of May, is always a dope show to catch. It'll be at probably the Liquor Store PDX, but check bridgetowncomedy.com and come out. Like I'm saying, it's like Janine Garofalo, Andy Kindler, what did I say, Karen Kilgariff, and Dreda Davis, and Maggie May, and all the like... It's like all the people who are going to be huge just in a month.
In like 3.5 weeks.
That are going to be so amazing. Like Shane, Shane Torres, Shane Moss, Sean Jordan, Bree Pruitt, Ian Carmel.
B. Pruitt.
Amy Miller, Steven Wilbur, Gabe Digger, the boys, Zach Toscani.
A very large assortment of people that you love
Curtis
who
Cook,
have moved away are coming
Anthony
back for
Lopez,
one weekend.
Katie Wynn. Like just
on and on and on. Where can people follow what you're up to?
I'm at Bree Pruitt, Bree with an I, Pruitt with an E. And I am that on Instagram and Twitter. And I'm great at Instagram. I'm cute. I got interesting stuff going on. I wear clothes that are interesting.
Fantastic follow.
These guys give me a lot of shit because I run our Instagram and I just put hilarious, funny
you
pictures
do,
up.
You just and goof.
I don't have any
idea. You just goof put, on.
It's got almost no ties to the show. I post an episode every once in a while.
I like your Instagram.
Thank you. I try
You're
to
welcome.
Keep it interesting. That bottle of piss I found on the beach the other day was ridiculous. So gross. And I feel bad because I saw it and instantly went, hey, you guys, look at this bottle of piss. And there's all these families around me and they all heard that. They're not happy with
Someone
me.
Someone was making some jankum right
and
there
And then
on
I
the
got
beach.
Down on my knees and took some pictures.
And I guess if you want to follow those pictures, you can follow our show at Hurt Gerbish.
Hurt
on Instagram.
Gerbish.
It's H-E-R-T.
It's so internet-y.
G-E-R-B-I-S-H. Well, Bree, thank you so much again for being
thank
here.
Thank you. Thanks for playing this dope tunes and chilling with me.
Yeah. And thank all of you for listening to this episode of Hot Garbage. We really, really appreciate it. If you like what you heard and you think others in your life may also enjoy it, please pass it along. It means a lot to Andy, Nate, and I. If you'd like to reach out to us directly, we would love to hear from you. You can do so by writing the show at hotgarbagepodcast@gmail.com. That's H-A-U-T-E, garbagepodcast@gmail.com. Andy, what do we got to go out on this evening?
Oh, man. New York rapper Edan's classic Beauty and the Beat album is now on Bandcamp for the first time. It came out in 2005. It's kind of like an unsung hip-hop masterpiece album. It's just a bunch of underground New York dudes that were doing stuff in 2005 that were really good. This is him and another New York rapper named Insight with their song Funky Voltron. Shit is really good.
For the amazing Bree Pruitt, for Nate, for Andy, this is Drew. Thanks for listening to this episode of Hot Garbage. We'll see you next week.
We heard about the mess. We brothers on stage. But we had more for so if we orchestrate well. Yeah. Then you should put us on the press charge the clientele. And if the live show is strong. Shit, we form like Voltron. Let's get it on. Don't try after long. Telepath. Now, when he ain't speak, he speaks on my behalf. Mentally connected. Throw the microphone 50 feet in the air. And catch it. Somebody throws a baby. Oh shit. Do a spin move and catch it. And the crowd goes crazy. Through 180. Maybe twice the sacrifice. My like knife, the lazy. So all the ladies. Best move with the groove. Love, we do it for you.
sin. I think it's more like spit.
Let the games begin.
We got the raw type talk, absorb it like salt. 4x4, that's the steps on the floor. Eography with the prefix core. What be the core but a solid foundation?
Skill,
preparation, these sorts of things do a fine rapper make. Faces I play, take a look at those cakes. Your physique is a dream indeed. It's like pigeons and cream.
We more mean like needles.
See, so they all bleed, trying to compete with the team. What's your name, good man?
In sight with the plan, who are you?
To the dawn and together we stand.
Cause when the beats sound iffy and the kids bark lies,
it'll be a sad day like when the Bismarck dies.
This art's mine to master,
or is it as a grand mixer?
Speed it up a little faster,
that's quicker.
Pumping through your transistor,
ghetto blaster.
We the master builders,
spinning acid on rappers. Build is a massive thrill,
but actually mass and kill.
Or daffodil,
we smash and kill.
Captivate,
max and chill.
Cash a mass appeal,
so this competition lacked the skill.
So we shouldn't feel shame when we crack that grill.
What is the mission fulfilled?